This is Chuck Sickinga interviewing Henrietta Bosch for the Tri-Cities Museum. The date is August 26, 1991.
My name is Henrietta Bosch, and my birth date is June 19, 1914.
Okay.
77 years old.
And have you lived here your whole life? Do you have an earliest memory from this area?
Yes, I do. Not a little story.
And that would be?
Well, I can start from one if you want me to.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I was a small child, and I went to the cigar store. I went with my father downtown in Grand Haven, and it was, I think it was in the second block of Washington Street, and it was Billy Grunt's cigar store. I was about 4 years old at the time, and he got cigars for a week, and there was a man by the name of Muzzle Dykema. He always was in there too, and he always bought me a bag of candy for a nickel. And let's see, he lived on the corner of 4th and Clinton Street. There was a room in the back, and I would peek in there, and there was a man, several men, but there was two men. They would be smoking with pipes that went into a big bowl of water, and I was wondering what that was. I never could figure that out. It must have been moist cigar smoke, it was smoking a pipe, but it was in moist air, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And they would smoke in that. And I was peeking around the corner in the curtain. Let's see. I lived on Jackson Street, 419 Jackson Street. So we walked from Jackson Street downtown. And we didn't mind the walk in those days.
Right.
We did everything walking. That's about all that story was.
Right. Okay, you lived on Jackson Street. Who lived there with you as far as your family went? Did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I had three sisters. Okay. But at that time, I only had one sister. She was 4 years older than I was.
What was the neighborhood like then? Was it as developed as it is now? Or?
Well, that is about the same as it is now. Only the houses are more run down than they are now. I'm kind of ashamed of the house that I used to live in. They don't do nothing to it.
Yeah. Okay.
It was the third house from the park on Jackson Street. Going, let's see, east.
Okay. When did you start school? And where? And at which school was that?
Central
School.
I had Miss Coster for kindergarten teacher.
Yeah.
Then I went to the Columbus Street School for a couple of years.
Okay.
It was in, well, there was a bowling alley there. It was Secret's Bowling Alley. It was right near that area. It was on the, I can't think of what side of the street it was on. So, north side of the street.
Okay.
But I can't remember what block it was in. I think that was also in the second block from the corner, from the Harbor Street.
And what was school like? How many people were in
there
the classes?
Were just about maybe three classes, four, about three rooms.
Okay.
And then I didn't like it there.
Didn't like? Why?
No. The teacher gave me a licking for something I didn't do. So I didn't go there anymore, and then I went to Central School.
Was that the way discipline was approached in the schools, and
well,
how did they handle disciplinary problems? And
well, I don't know. Her name was Miss Noble, and at that time, she used to go with the boy of Van Horsen. We used to go visiting at Van Horsen's, and every time we came there, she'd go upstairs after that. She had red hair, Miss Noble did.
Red hair.
What else I could tell you?
What sort of subjects did you study in school back in, say, elementary school?
Not much. You know, reading, writing, and penmanship, and spelling, and going from
there. Was there a lot of homework back then? No.
Not in lower grades.
Okay.
And I didn't go a whole lot to school because I was sickly.
No.
Later on, I went to school. But then, when the twins were born, I was in the seventh grade. And my mother had twins, and she was 40, and I was 13 and 11 months, almost 14. And she had twins, so I had to stay home and help take care of the twins. Those days, you could stay home. You didn't have
right.
You just stayed home. So I would stay home on Mondays and Tuesday morning. Monday, she'd wash. Tuesday, I had to iron. And Wednesday, I guess I went to school. Maybe Thursday and Friday, we'd stay home together and wash and iron and things like that.
What other sorts of household chores did you have to do then?
Help my mother all I could.
Yep.
But that was older, when I was older.
Right.
Not when I was really little.
Okay. When you were younger, say elementary school age, what kind of things did you do for recreation?
At school, you mean?
At school or just after school with your friends?
We played off recess, but I can remember when I was little, I had round shoulders. Just, you know.
Yeah.
And they had me go to school real early in the morning before school. And I walked to school, of course, at Central School. And I had to go to the high school gym and take exercises. And I didn't like that because all the other kids could play on the playground and I had to do all the exercises. I guess I had to do that three times a week. I didn't. It was for something that I had. They told me I had round shoulders. And they thought maybe that would help, I guess.
So how about, were there any games you played with friends after school, or any types of toys or anything you played with?
I played a lot of dolls.
Well, what kind of dolls?
Just plain ordinary dolls. They had those jointed dolls with rubber in between.
Okay,
and
I think I know what you're talking
arms
about.
Arms and legs. I had the doll up until about 10 years ago when I sold it. The rubber was all stretched and... Then I had one with springs. One of the springs that had white hair, I called that the Irishman, and the other one, I don't know why I remember that name. I didn't have a name for it. I remember when I was real little, maybe about five, I would take my cat, dress it all up in doll clothes, and put it in the buggy and walk around with a doll. Then a little bonnet on, I could see Link doing that yet. That would be walking around the block, you know?
Right.
But we made a lot of our own toys. We'd take a piece of wood and make a point on each end. And we had another thing, we'd hit it, see how far it would go. That was one of the games we'd play. We'd play jacks and play run, sheep, run, and any eye over, all in front of the game.
Yeah.
Other children, you know.
Run, sheep, run. How was that played? I've never...
Can't remember that. Don't know what played that.
Okay. And the other one, that's the game where you throw balls over the house, uh-huh. Right?
In any other.
Right.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of other games to play. Kick the can.
Okay, that one's...
And we play that on the street light when we got older.
Okay, and as you got older, say into your teenage years, then was there anything different that you did?
Well, I can tell you a story
education.
About when I was younger, yeah.
Oh, okay.
When I went to the North Shore, we packed a picnic basket, and my mother and my oldest sister, Hazel, and Mrs. Bradway, she lived around the corner on 5th Street, and her son, her daughter, Ruth Bradley. We all went to the, well, it's where the boardwalk is now, across the street from where the old Coast Guard was. We walked that far with a picnic basket. And we, there's a great big ring that we would have to ring. And then the Coast Guard would come across and, with a boat, pick you up and take you over there with a boat. We used to do that. And then we'd go there for the day across the river, and we'd go in the water. First time I ever went in Lake Michigan. We had dresses. We didn't have bathing suits. We had dresses, and of course they dry quickly, but they kind of clung to you. And then we ate a picnic lunch, and then we played around games and stuff, you know, in the sand. And then we'd come home. Same way, the Coast Guard would bring us across the river, and we'd get, it was right across where the old Coast Guard station was. And we would walk here home.
Yeah. Were there any types of organized social activities? I mean, where would kids
play?
Go? And I mean, even older kids, like teenagers, like now they all go downtown and hang out there.
The barn.
The barn.
I didn't do that. My sister,
okay.
My younger sister went to the barn.
And
roller skated.
Roller skated. Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah.
That wasn't there then, I guess, when I was little.
Oh.
You know, that age.
Yeah, right. It was mm-hmm. the roller arena, and they had dances there, didn't they?
I remember going to Christian Endeavor. That was in our church, in the First Reformed Church.
And what did you do for
and
that?
We, that was on Tuesday nights. We'd go to Christian Endeavor. That was a gathering for children and older people. And we would go to different churches and have parties there.
And what sort of things would you do at those parties?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know. I don't remember that. I know we went to Coopersville, and we went to different churches around this area, you know.
Hey, for places like going to Coopersville or out of town, did you take cars then?
Yeah. I didn't
have cars. Okay. Were cars fairly common?
Mm-hmm.
No, not too common.
Mm-hmm.
So,
when I was real little, cars were very scarce.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
We didn't have a car until we had twins. My mother had the twins, and after that we had a car.
Okay.
I have a story about that too. I should look it up in a minute. It was in June. It was after my twin sisters were born, and we had a double, twin buggy.
Mm-hmm.
And we went from Jackson Street to Slayton Street. And it must be about 900 block on Slayton Street. They went visiting some friends, and it was hot in June. And my dad, I remember, he sweat right through his coat. So he's pushing that buggy, you know. But the whole family went, but in those days we went with a family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I was quite old in that family. And then afterwards he went down and looked at the Chevy garage. He was going to buy a car. So he looked down there and he had picked one out that he thought he'd like. And so my sister and I, we had to go to the bank and get the money. And we had to have signed paper from my father to get the certain amount of money. It was $625 for a brand new Chevy. Four door.
A pretty good deal today. To say the least.
I don't remember what else I did. We felt pretty big carrying all that money home. For $625, that was a lot of money in those days.
Yeah, it's a lot of money now.
Well, I don't know if it's a lot of money now, but in those days it was.
Yeah.
It was like a... Well, then I used to take my sisters out for buggy rides, you know. My mother after school when I got home to ride and buggy. And then some people say, boy, she's young to have a twin set. They're my new sisters. And I help take care of them a lot.
Yeah.
And then another story about when I went to the Sunday school picnic at Fruit Park. You want to hear that one?
Yes.
Well, first I'll go to the library. I went to the library with my sister. My mother told my old sister that I had to go with her. She had something she wanted to do, and so I'm supposed to go with her to the library. And she was with two other girls her age, and she really didn't like me along, because I was a tag along, you know. My little sister, 4 years younger. And we started walking down the street. And the library was on Church Street, I think it was, right across from the Ford Garage. At that time, but then the First Reformed Church is next to the Ford Garage.
Okay.
And I think that's where it was. And I was pretty proud of never at the library at that age. Well, that's pretty nice to go to the library. But then when I got closer to the library, I saw my father coming down the street. He came home from work. And I thought, I guess I'd rather go with him. Because he always stopped in T. Coleman's saloon for one glass of beer. And I thought, I'd like to go with him. So I ran up to him when he got closer. He worked in the piano factory, polishing pianos at the time. Rubbing. Call it rubbing. Polishing pianos. I thought, well, I'd rather go with him. So I asked if I could go along. He said, yeah, I'm with my sister. They thought that. My sister thought that was a better idea. So she said, okay, you go with him. So I went with him. He sit me on the little stool. I could still see myself sitting there. And I had a glass of milk. He had one glass of beer. And he had little dishes of peanuts. And little sausages they had. And crackers. All little dishes of that stuff. And boy, I put myself up on that with my glass of milk. And then by the time I got home, I wasn't hungry anymore. The saloon was on the corner of Fulton and 3rd Street.
Okay.
There isn't more, I guess. And my father, he only took one glass of beer, and he never took more than that. Because it was hot in the summertime, and cool off of having a glass of beer.
Mm-hmm. Now, was that during Prohibition, and was it real beer? Or?
It was real beer.
Okay.
And he used to sell beer during the Depression, during the times when he could sell it, but they couldn't sell it on Sundays, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had a group of men that come in and play cards on Sunday. He always let them in the back door and they'd play cards. And he'd get kind of rowdy sometimes, talk loud, you know. He said, keep your big mouth shut on Sunday. And that was the thing we always had around our house whenever we made a lot of noise. My dad was telling, keep your big mouth shut on Sunday. Well, I'll never forget that. And if I can remember all those things.
Yeah. What about, if you had on the sheet here, the train and the interurban, were those running when you were young?
You mean at Fruit Park?
Did
I tell you about that one already?
No, you didn't.
Okay. We went to a Sunday school picnic at Fruitport. That was when I was about 7 years old. We planned for weeks because we didn't go very many places in those days. We didn't have a car.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the train on the corner of 7th Street. We went to Perrysburg. We got off of that and we went on another in Urban. And that went, that is a five wheels, I think it was. And the center one was electric, could that be?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what we did. And we went to the fruit court and We had a picnic there, and they, but we didn't eat right away. We first played games, and they had baseball for the men, and they had horseshoes, and they had, all different games for all different ages of people, you know. They had pretty well organized. We would first play games, and then we would eat our picnic lunch, and then we'd go for a walk afterwards. We would have kind of a family style. We'd take a dish one and pass it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would go for a walk by the lake, the food court, the pavilion there. We'd look in that, and that was kind of nice. They had a big pavilion where they had dancing. And they had big bands there coming Saturday nights.
Yeah.
And they have that more.
So one, yeah, the big one on the end of the dock there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you, that's about all I know on that.
What about fishing with your father in the Grand River?
Yeah, I went fishing with my father. I was 6 years old. First time I ever went fishing, he took me along, and we went fishing in the Sag. You know where that is? That's near Harrisburg. Well, no, that's a different time. Oh, I'll read this one too. Went fishing, and he first took me when the carp were spawning, and they were quite thick in there, so he took and rowed the boat right in there with them. Fish were spawning, and fish were real thick at the time, right? You know, you could see the backs of them out of the water. And one went, he had the oar on, one of them went like right up the oar and right in the boat right next to me. But we never kept those fish. We never liked carp. We never But I did catch them on my line already, and they would really give you a good pull. It was a lot of fun catching them.
There
was another time I wrote in here about fishing. That was when we went. The first time I went fishing in a rowboat, my father rowed to a place that we fished, and that was across the river from a musical fountain. And it was lily bed there.
Mm-hmm.
We fished, we put the boat in the lily beds, and then we fished out of the lily beds. And he baited my hook up, and I had a small cane pole. So we fished with most of his cane pole. And didn't have no...
Reel?
Reel out. just the line out of it. Yeah. And he used to catch. They had them. At that time, across the river was, before that, was the sawmills and everything. You used to get your hook caught in those things that stuck up. That was wood that's sticking out in the water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know, they were slabs of wood that they had sticking out in the water. Just get your hook caught and quite often, so when you dig your line, you have to start all over again. But anyway, I caught fish. I caught a fish, and my dad took it off and put a new worm on it. I put the line up and caught another one. You could catch fish just like nothing in those days. You didn't have to sit and wait an hour, you know. And then I got another one, He'd get sick of that. He'd take my fish off. He'd get his line out. So then he says to me, he told me how to take the fish off the hook, showed me how. And he says, now you can take it off yourself and put your worms on. So that was how I learned how to go fishing. And I went fishing a lot of times with him. And on the way home, we stopped at the hobo camp. That was right behind the old Grand Trunk Station.
Okay, the museum where?
No, on 4th
Street. Oh, the okay, yeah, the Grand Trunk one, not the.
Yeah, the hobo camp was on behind there.
Oh.
The people that were on the trains would get off, and they would have a regular camp for them. They would have that there. They had a place where they cook their meals and stuff, and they'd go to Betty's store and get maybe some canned heat or something like that, and that's how they used to cook their meal. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we stopped there and talked with him, and we gave him the fish because he had lots of fish.
Mm-hmm.
and they'd clean them, and they would eat them, and you'd tell us stories about where they were from. And they were really nice people. It's just that a lot of them couldn't afford travel expenses, so they would hop the train and
go.
And a lot of times they would, we'd have hobos come to our house. The first house was Clinton's house, and he was a policeman. Never stopped there. They never stopped at the next house. That was where Fisher's lived. They never got anything there, but my mother always gave them something. But when my father wasn't home, they would have to sit on the back steps, and she would bring a plate of food out to them. She would never let them in the house. My dad never allowed that. But when he was home, they could come inside.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a lot of hobos, you know, that they could stop coming in.
How long, till about what year did the were the hobos still around?
During the Depression and all that time, you know.
Yeah.
We had a lot of hobos coming.
Did gypsies come too?
No.
No? Okay.
But they were real nice people. It wasn't that they were rough looking, you know. They were, you know, people that would just travel, but they didn't have means, you know, funds to travel, so they'd take the train and they'd stop off different places and see what they could see and travel on.
Back on the train. Okay, when did you get through with school?
I only went through the 8th grade.
Through the 8th grade, okay.
That's why I'm trying to get my high school education.
All right, that's great. And what did you do after you were through with school? Did you help around the house? Did you get a job?
I worked at Miller's Dairy.
Miller's Dairy.
I started working there when I was about 17.
Okay.
Around there. And at that time they had just ice cream cones and quartz pints, hand packed. They didn't have it in boxes, and you had to scoop it out and put it in a container.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to have that. We were very busy on Sundays, and I used to hate Sundays because they would come out of church on Sunday morning and buy ice cream. They didn't have freezers, you know, in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
They just had the old ice boxes, so they couldn't keep it overnight.
Right.
And so they used to come to the dairy and buy ice cream. A lot of churches in that area.
Where was the dairy at?
Fulton Street, 420 Fulton Street.
Okay.
And there was the Christian Reformed Church. That would be the First Christian and First Reformed Methodist. Second Reform, and Second Christian Reform was all in that area. And all those people would come out of church and buy ice cream and go home and eat, you know, for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like that very well.
How long did you work there?
I worked there until I got married. I got married when I was 24.
Okay.
Off and on, I quit and then get a job in another factory, and of course you're the last one there, so you're the first one out. And I worked in wood reproducers for a while, and I worked in Peerless Novelty about 3 different times. And I did spraying up above the office. I worked in the spraying department. I had what they had, what they called shoe trees. I had the toe part of the shoe tree and the heel, and then there was a flexible metal band in between. And I had to put them in racks and they'd spray them. John West used to spray them. And later on, I got the job of spraying, but they didn't let me do that very long because that was a man's job and they wouldn't pay me man's wages.
Couldn't or wouldn't.
What?
Couldn't or wouldn't. Yeah.
When I started working at the dairy, I made 10 cents an hour. I worked 40 hours, so $40 a week. And, of course, in those days was depression. So I gave it all to my mother, and she gave me 25 cents for spending it for the week. And I saved money on that. while I was working there, my sister worked at Wessel's. Father of the one that had Wessel's
garage.
And she got $4 a week, too. She did housework. And she gave the money home to her. And while we were there, she caught, while she worked there, she got scarlet fever from the boys there. And we all got it. My two little sisters got it, and she got it, and I got it, and my mother got very bad strep throat. So we were all sick in bed. My dad, he worked one day for the PWA, that was the government, and then he had to come in and take care of us, and he only worked one day. He couldn't get a job before that. There was no jobs to be found, no place, nowhere. And he was so tickled he got the job through the PWA. He worked, and he had to come in, so he took care of us.
What sort of treatment did you have for that back then?
The doctor came to the house, but I don't know, the pills I guess they gave us.
Yeah, and how long were you laid up?
I guess they kept you in the house 3 weeks and quarantined. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad had to come in and put him well again. That was the way that worked. Well, I worked at the dairy. They had drivers with horses, wagons, you know, and the horses were very smart. They knew just how far to trot along. Well, the man, the driver, would deliver the milk to different houses with his carrier filled with milk and cottage cheese and butter and all of this stuff, coffee cream, chocolate milk, whatever they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd fill that up and go around so many houses, and the horse would stop at a certain place. And then he'd go on the wagon again, fill it up, and the horse would travel on. Yeah, just so far, and then he'd deliver more, see? Well, those horses were pretty smart, but when they had a customer that they lost, it was kind of hard because
they'd still stop.
He'd still stop.
Guess they weren't that smart.
Several times early in the morning. They started out about 3 o'clock in the morning. And then I would go with them when they'd go and get milk out in the country. That was real nice.
So did they have to go, like, out to the farms and they'd buy the milk from the farmer?
And they'd go to Coopersville, as far as Coopersville, and come back. And it was really nice. They'd go out about 3 o'clock in the morning. The birds would be singing. Roosters would be crowing. And sun would be coming up. It was really nice out in the morning, you know. And there was one guy I liked. He was from Coopersville. That's why I went. Went on the route with him. That was kind of fun.
You had your ulterior motives.
The man that used to drive the route was Jack Nelson. And let's see. They would get sour milk for butter.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a different route. I didn't go on that route. But then they would pick that up. And they bring it back to the dairy and make butter out of that. And I used to have to go in the cooler and melt and wrap the butter because I had a lot of fingers. I could do it fast. They cut it in squares, not squares, but oblongs. I'd like to do now.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to wrap it up. I used to do that, and what else did I do? I used to pasteurize the milk, and we have vats up on the second floor, and then it come down on, I guess it was filled with something that would make it real cold. It would be real hot in the vat, and then it come down and be real cold, like cold water in there or something. Maybe it was freezing water, I don't know. You know, something that would make it freeze. And then it would come down, and then it would go on a thing, and the bottles would go down. Bottles would fill up and put in cases, crates, you know, cases. That's the way they used to call milk. But they brought milk every day, 7 days a week, and delivered the milk to everybody's home.
Uh-huh. Right. How many people roughly did they serve?
I couldn't tell you, but they had 6 drivers.
Okay. Were there other dairies in town, too?
Yeah, there was Temple's Dairy, and there was... No, of course, I don't remember more. There was smaller dairies. Well, Bramer's... Rosemary, he's a little narcissistic. And different ones. They would sell ice cream cones for Hyacinths. I said that already. And then later on, they had a soda bar. And that was all made out of stainless steel. And I used to work with that. I used to make ice cream, sodas and sundaes and shakes, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, they called them just soda drinkers.
How did that term jerker...
What?
Do you know what the origins of the term jerker...
No, because...
because you jerk the handle?
Handle and put the stuff in, the flavoring and stuff.
Right.
And I worked until 12 o'clock at night. And boy, would be busy in summer. People would be down at the dairy barn and ice cream. There was one doctor always came in, his name was Redine. And he would come in the winter even, he'd get a peach at Bertino's. Come down there and let me make him a peach sundae. And I'd charge him 50 cents. I'd peel a peach and put the symbols in the closet, and he always liked that. And, I guess that's about all I can say about the dairy.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute, they had ice cream war on. They sold ice cream for 10 cents a quart. That was when they had it in box form. And you see, when you had it hand-packed, you'd squash the air out of it. You get more solid ice cream. You can still buy that yet.
Yeah.
But in those days, like now too, you get more air in it. I guess they put a lot of air in it. And then everybody ran into ice cream for supper. they had different times in wars. One time they made banana splits. And they had a chrome-plated dish where three sections. And they had a banana on each side. And then they had ice cream, three scoops of ice cream and different flavors. And I guess that went for 15 cents. Everybody had a lot of those, you know.
Yeah. That was like a price war, you mean?
Price war.
Okay.
Different types of price wars.
But you didn't like those. It made you have to work all that much harder, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. You didn't get any more pay. Of course, as I got older, I got like 25 cents an hour.
Okay. How did the Depression affect you and your family?
Well, my dad didn't work, I know that. Well, he was working, he worked in the piano factory part of the time. But it slowly went downhill. They would work like 3 days, 4 days a week, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards it didn't work at all because they weren't selling any pianos.
Right. But were there certain sacrifices you had to make to get through those years? Or?
We didn't go very many places, that was for sure. And we always had food on the table. We eat on our bread and stuff. We never was. My mother took in boarders. Right from the Netherlands. My dad knew people from the Netherlands, and they'd come to our house and they'd be ordering there for about 3-4 years, maybe 5 years. Taught Dutch all the time when I went to school. I taught Dutch.
Were there any interesting stories related to any of those boarders?
Well, there was one that came with my dad. My dad went to the Netherlands. His mother was still living yet. He was the youngest of 12 children. And his mother was still living yet, so he wanted to go and see her. My mother didn't want to go because she wanted to take us out of school. He left December 1st to go to the Netherlands. He went on the Rotterdam, came home on the Amsterdam boat, for big boats.
Mm-hmm.
And he went there to see his mother and all his relation. And he took different things home for us, of course. And he took John Mondrio home with him. And he was talking Dutch, of course. He stayed by our house for a while. Everything was Dutch. you know, I could talk Dutch just as well as I could talk English at that time. We had good times with them. And then my mother, they played a game they called Kreuzschach, and they played it every Monday night. Pete Bile would come, and Aaron Shepherd, and my dad played. It was four of them. They played that game. And sometimes one of them couldn't come, then my mother would play, and then, of course, she had to make lunch for them, and then I could play the game. I felt real proud of doing that, because I knew how to play it, too. I don't know how to play it now, but at that time, I could. It was a regular, you know, game card. You could use this regular game.
Right. How about, like, movies or radio? Were those big forms of entertainment?
Mm-hmm. I was telling you about the movies. At the Robin Hood Theater. You know where that is?
Yeah, it was right next to where the big bank is now.
We went there. We were first in... A story about it. Sorry, I have to use space in between here. I can't find it.
No, that's okay.
Went to the Robin Hood Theater. Every Saturday night we went. And we had to go leave the house at 5:45.
And then you say we, was that the whole family?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
My oldest sister, myself, my mother and dad. Twins weren't born yet. And we left the house at 5:30. And it was first in line. We always had to be first in line. And we could get the seats we wanted. We always sat on the right side, and there was a place where there was three seats. The rest were all four seats on the side, and then the center had a whole number of seats. And on the other side was four seats. And I sat in front of my dad because my dad was big. I couldn't see behind him.
Mm-hmm.
He was 265 pounds.
He was big.
And so He always had me sit in front of him. My sister sat in front of my mother. And we would always see cowboy movies. And he had a good organist. His name was Louis Bryles. He played the organ when the pictures were shown.
Mm-hmm.
And one time we were up there watching. We were in movies watching. And a man came out and walked on stage. And he said, "Mr. Lyndon Zomer, you got to go home right away. The whole family." So we got up and went home. And we had a fire. There was a fire in the back of our house. It was Niepings Cola. They had a, right from their house, they had a cola, but then they had kind of a shed, and they had oil, and they had gasoline, and coal, and all that kind of stuff in that big shed. And they sold from there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a huge fire, and we came down the street, we could see the fire way from there, you know. And we were walking so fast from the theater, I could hardly keep up with them. And I must have been about 10 at the time. And I can remember that, too. And we got there, and they were putting water on our house on the roof, you know, to keep it from burning.
Mm-hmm.
And the trees were starting to burn in the backyard already, in our backyard. And it was quite a fire. That burned down the coal yard. But our house stayed. The house next door stayed. We did pretty good at watering down the houses. And but we never went back to the show. You got called out, you never go back again. Then we used to go every Saturday night.
Were those like cereals, or were they?
Mm-hmm.
Is that
cowboy movies?
What?
Tom Mix and Gene Autry.
Before, was that before talkies?
No, I don't think. Well, they had the organs.
So yeah, it must have been.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about radio? Did you have a radio? Or?
Later on, yeah. but we didn't get it right away.
Okay.
That was a big thing when we got on the radio.
What sort of programs did you listen to on the radio?
Well, in the afternoon, Stella Dell. Little McGee and Molly at night.
And what were those about? I'm not. Like Stella Dell, Flipper McGee and Molly, what were those programs about?
Friends.
Yeah.
You know.
Were they like soap operas?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, in that order.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of them were kind of not serious. Some were just a plain program just for the night, you know.
Yeah.
We had a lot of good movies in those times.
Yeah,
not movies, but programs. We didn't get a TV very early either. Everybody else in the neighborhood had TV before we got one. Before I was married.
How long did you live in your family, with your family?
I was 24 when I got married.
Okay. And then where did you move to?
I moved to where the community center is now.
Okay.
We had a 3-apartment house, and we lived in the back apartment. And we paid $14 a month rent. It was small. And
mm-hmm.
the walls were like tissue paper. Then when my son was, we stayed there until he was about 2.5 years old. And I can remember the park was being fixed with the fountain in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time he saw the fountain, my little boy, he just spoke to him and, "Oh, mother, pretty all dark." he called it, "Pretty all dark." Never forgot that. So whenever I go past it, I think of that. It was kind of nice. It was dark, and then they had the different colors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a fountain. I mean, think about it. I've got one that you can go all over there.
So, got married in 1938. Did the war affect your life at all?
I picked it up from here in the city. I remember. And he worked in the part when they gave out all parts, tools and stuff, to
mm-hmm.
all of them that needed them, you know, that worked there. And he worked. There was time when he worked 7 days a week. He didn't like to work in the same day.
Yeah.
He had to work when they told you. Otherwise,
you were living.
And I was living on Monroe Street. We lived on 431 Monroe Street.
Yeah,
I lived there about 34 years.
And was that neighborhood more or less
down.
The same
mm-hmm.
as it is now? Or?
Yeah, the house I live in now, I'm not happy with. I mean, the house I live in, I'm not happy with.
Yeah.
What's now? They don't keep up the houses like we did, you know.
Maybe. Yeah.
Of course, some of them are being, you know, refinished, you might as well say. There's Clinton's on the corner on Jackson Street there, that first one that. By the park there, that looks nice.
Mm-hmm.
There was DeHaan's that was back of that one on Grove Street, that looks nice. There's some houses there that look nice.
What sort of things did you do for social activities after you got married? What did people do to keep
we
themselves?
We got a car later on. We didn't have a car when we got married. We got a car later on. We didn't do very much in vacation time. We didn't take vacations, you know. My children, you know. Not very much until we got older. Then we went on vacation to Niagara Falls and things like that. Up north, the rocks and to the island and Kalamazoo and that kind of stuff.
Did a lot of people take trips like that? Were those pretty common things?
When the children got older, yeah.
For people to do?
It wasn't as expensive to go as it is now, of course. But
yeah, obviously.
But when my husband started working, he was making $8 an hour. And breath.
Was that pretty good in those days? Okay. You have something in here. It looks like Bream Church.
What?
It's under
Bream Church. I went to that church. I went with my dad, and Sunday morning, and they taught, they preached Dutch. So I sat and listened to the Dutch thing. Then I would run from that church to the First Reformed Church and went to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
I always went to Sunday school. I mean, as long as I can remember it, First Reformed Church. We were custodians when we got married. Last year, we were custodians in First Reformed Church. I was working in Michigan Brass, and that was a full-time job, maybe a part-time job, and being a custodian. And during the time when we put that new wing on,
okay,
Faces Washington, and they had the parsonage was right where the part of the wing is now, years back.
Okay. I forgot what I was going to ask.
We lived at Park and we were managers there too. We were custodians there too. At Fisherman Church. And I worked, we worked with them at Park Lane until he died. And I lived there for about half a year and then I moved here.
Okay.
11 years.
11 years.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the first ones here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't think this was that old, so. Okay, well, do you have any other stories from your stories that you'd like to relate?
I had my appendix removed. I was 22.
22?
Where was I?
Okay, we're going to start another story.
I was 32 years old when I had my appendix removed. Dr. DeWitt was the doctor. And it was about 3 weeks before that, he kind of didn't want to have his things already, so he kind of gave different medicines, you know, to help. Finally, I had to have help. And he went away, so I went to Dr. Verdine, and he wanted to have help, but I just wanted to, I said, no, I'll wait till Dr. Verdine can track and I think it out. Well, I suffered for a while more. And then I was in the hospital and I started feeling better after I had removed. My husband, he always went, he was my boyfriend at the time, he went rabbit hunting.
Mm-hmm.
He shot a couple of rabbits and took them to my mother and he cleaned them first and she fixed them. And she took them down there to the hospital for me to eat some of it. And I was like rabbit. Wild rabbit was really good tasting.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't figure out where the bones come from when they were on the tray. Because I didn't know what to do with them. Just put them on the tray. Then while I was there, the triplets were little. It's the Wilhelm triplets.
Uh-huh.
I was, at that time, I wasn't 32, I was 22. And they're about 50 years old now, because I'm 77. And the mother was very sick. She stayed in the hospital for a month and a half, and they did too. And of course, there were three of those babies, plus the other babies that were born. And there was quite a few babies in the nurseries this particular time. And when one cried, they all cried, you know how that goes. So they had to go downstairs and take a cast off Mr. Bolt's leg. He worked at the MVB Bank at the time. What was his first name? I don't remember. Anyway, Bolt. And the nurse says upstairs, she worked upstairs. She had to go downstairs and she says, well, you have one of those little triplets in bed with you. And I said, sure. I was married when I still took care of that little triplet. I gave him his bottle and burped him while it was in bed. And then he went to sleep. He wet the bed. And she left them there for about 2 hours. And she said that helped because then the other babies could sleep too, you know. And, but they wouldn't do that nowadays if they bring the baby in your bed. That was the NBD Bank. That was the one that's across the street from the First Republic.
Right.
So when I see the triplets now, I wonder which one was in bed with me. We have one of them that sings in our choir. He goes back to the choir. Well, I don't want to think about that when I see it. They were about 1.5 months before they went home, the triplets. Because their mother was a triplet, so she couldn't take care of them.
Mm-hmm. Back, I don't know, as far back as you can remember, when people got sick, say, with a cold or the flu or something, what sort of remedies did they use? I'm assuming it's not like now where you can go to the store and there's 300 different cold tablets you can pick up.
Well,
did you do anything?
Medicine. The doctor would come to the house, of course, and give you medicine.
Were there a lot of home remedies for different things back then?
Right around your neck for sore throat. You understand that. And I remember when I was real little, I was born. I was only 3 pounds when I was born.
Oh.
And they couldn't get food to agree with me. My mother says they tried everything. Of course, in those days, they didn't have formulas like you got now. They had barley water, rice water, that's the kind of stuff they give me. You cook the rice and then that was the water they gave me, you know. And barley water and all that and things like that she would give me. But nothing to stay down. I had a weak stomach. So I was puny and I didn't sit up until I was about a year and a half. Because I wasn't strong.
Hmm.
I didn't walk until I was about 3.
Yeah.
From then on, I started gaining weight. And I went way up to 230.
Wow.
And then every time I would get sick different times, and then every time I get sick, some of the pounds come off from me. I had half of my stomach removed from out of my intestines, and I lost quite a bit of weight at that time. Never came back.
Yeah. Okay.
You want to know about medicine? Well, when I was real little, my mother always gave me cod liver oil. And she put sugar on the back of the spoon, cod liver oil. I had to take it. I believe I had a whole room full of it.
Did that taste like?
Me, I couldn't eat anything with oil, and even, you know, like you take mayonnaise and oil, I didn't like it. And I didn't like anything like fish packed in oil, like tuna fish.
Mm-hmm.
I like it now with water, but then I didn't even care for it with oil.
Yeah.
It's because of that.
What did cod liver oil taste like? Is there anything you can compare it to?
Yeah, bad tasting stuff. I really can't say.
Uh-huh.
I didn't like it. But I had to take it because that's what the doctor told me I had.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I had a lot. They just pushed it down my nose.
What was it supposed to do for you, do you know?
It was supposed to make me healthier.
Make you healthier.
At that time, I was puny and skinny.
Sort of a cure-all.
Mm-hmm. They had a lot of different remedies for different things, but I can't think of them right now.
Okay. Any other stories you would like to add?
Oh, my mother had the twins, and Dr. DeWitt, that was his first set of twins.
Mm-hmm.
He was so proud of them that he took his whole family down to see the twins, because they never had seen twins, you know. And they brought 2 layettes for my mother, so she could have them for the twins. And you want to charge her $25, because that was all he charged for. But he said he just charged the single amount instead of the double amount. I remember that. I was almost 14 at the time. She was very sick for a month after that. She didn't do anything there. My aunt was there all the time. And I remember that when I went to school, when the twins got a little bigger, and I used to have to give them their bath before school and feed them their bottle. And I had to go to school. So I had to get up pretty early.
Yeah, they keep you pretty busy.
If I went to school, when you got any bigger than I could handle them. So I didn't have to bathe babies. I used to have to iron clothes. I used to get so mad she had all ruffles and all that kind of stuff. Dresses, you know, lace and all that kind of stuff. And you iron one, you got to do another one just like it. In those days you had to iron everything.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have slants or anything like that. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Boy, they sure had a lot more better clothes than they had in those days.
Whatever you want to tell me at this point. Okay, then I guess just to sum things up, having lived in this area all your life, how would you say it's changed? And do you think the changes have been for the better? And do you think it's a better area to live?
For the better. I can remember this area where I am now. My cousin used to own this land. His name was Elmer Clark. He had celery here. And my uncle, he had celery where the D&W is now. But he had 4 acres there. That was his, you know, that's what they lived on. And that money that they brought in. My uncle worked with his son, Ori. And Elmer, I think, with his wife. But they took all that nice brown black dirt off. And they put it back on again. You know what I mean? They sold it for something else.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I think that about wraps it up then.